So our passage this morning begins with a command to listen to and apply what Scripture says. Pay attention and listen to the sayings of the wise. Apply your heart to what I teach, for it is pleasing when you keep them in your heart and you have them ready on your lips. Now notice, it's not just to know and to understand these words. It is also for us to tell and to teach. Now you know what it's like to learn. You know what it's like to learn, and for many of you, any of you who have prepared a Bible study or who have kind of intentionally wanted to teach your kids something, that you go and do the research. And it's one thing to just kind of read and to glean things for yourself, but it's a whole other level of knowledge and understanding and research when you are trying to glean things to then turn around and speak or teach to others. And so it's not just here to know and to understand, it is to tell and to teach. And then in verse 19 it says, so that your trust may be in the Lord, I teach you today, even you. And so we have the writer of these Proverbs practicing as he is teaching these things, he's practicing what he preaches. And actually this, so that your trust may be in the Lord, is a restatement or a reminder of a theme that has surfaced throughout the book of Proverbs. Perhaps this is one of the absolute most important things to pursue in life, one of the most important things we can pursue in life. And the first time we read about it was all the way back in Proverbs chapter 3. And this is probably a couple of verses that many of you had to memorize if you grew up in the church, but it's verses 5 and 6 where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. That is a hefty command. But along with that command comes such a significant promise. And the wisdom in this truth is so important that, as I said, it's repeated throughout the book of Proverbs. And actually, in one way or another, this command and this promise is repeated all the way throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, throughout the Bible. And you know, it's had a far-reaching impact on my own life as well, because it's led me to ask some pretty significant questions about my faith. The most important of these is the question, you know, am I going to allow my faith in Jesus Christ to shape and to determine and control every aspect of my life? When it comes to my morality, that's maybe the easy one, but also when it comes to my relationships, the closest relationships I have in my marriage and in my family, but also the relationships I have with other brothers and sisters in Christ, and also the relationships that I have out in the world with believers and non-believers alike. Am I going to let my faith shape the career decisions that I make? Am I going to let my faith determine what I do with my money and with my resources? Am I going to let my faith speak into every single sphere or aspect of my life? Another way of asking this question is, you know what, how do I want to go? How far do I want to go with this faith stuff? I mean, do I really want to go all the way with it? Because that's going to require a lot of sacrifices. That's going to require a lot of work. Or is it good enough to maybe just go halfway with it? To what extent do I want my faith to transform everything about me? Now, I've been asking myself those questions for years now. I didn't think about it so much when I was young. But when I got a little bit older, when I got into my 20s, when some of the adult decisions started to come my way, and I realized, hey, you know, the decisions I make here, I got to take them pretty seriously because this is really going to kind of chart the course for my life. When I started asking the questions I just mentioned, it gave rise to other questions as well. I began to ask myself, in relationship with my faith, you know, why wouldn't I just put my entire life in God's hands? Not just my eternal life, but my entire life, my day-to-day life, every single aspect of it. I mean, why wouldn't I trust God completely? I mean, I believe that He knows best. I believe that He knows all. I believe that He loves me. Why wouldn't I just give it all to Him? Why wouldn't I stake my entire life on the God who saved me? Why not let Him lead me and guide me in every area? And of course, there's the caveat. You know, all of us have the out, right? As long as God proves Himself trustworthy. And that's kind of how I've lived my life. That's kind of the challenge that I gave to myself. If at any point God shows Himself untrustworthy, then you know what? I can make another decision. But until that point, why not put it all in His hands? And of course, this gives rise to another level of questions. Once you have decided, you know what, I'm going to give it all to Him, and I'm going to trust Him, at least as long as He remains trustworthy to me, I'll give it to Him. But then you start thinking about questions like this. You know, what might God have in mind for my life? Because Scripture tells us it's not necessarily going to be easy. Where might God want me to go? What might He want me to do or to become? What kind of people is He going to bring into my life to learn from or to teach or to mentor or to be mentored by? What challenges and adventures does He have in store for me? Of course, that gives rise to one more question. What if I were to miss? What if I were to miss all that God has in store for me because I didn't have the courage to give His wisdom and His guidance a try? And so each day, I make a conscious decision that I'm going to go for it. And, you know, don't think so highly of me because I fail every day too. But every day I make the decision, you know what, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to try to do what God would have me do. I'm going to try to be the person that God would have me be. I am going to have my eye on the opportunities that God brings my way, whether it's situations or whether it's people. And I have to tell you that I am grateful. I am grateful every day that God continues to pursue me, that God continues to put that desire on my heart. Every day that God gives me the courage to follow His lead and to answer His call. And I do, at this point anyway, I do feel uncomfortable. Uncomfortable a little bit when I think about what I would have missed had I not answered God's call for my life, and what I could miss if at some point I decide, you know what, I'm going to do my own thing. Who cares what God thinks? And that same opportunity is open for all of us. It doesn't just go for pastors. I know maybe some of you are thinking, I'm talking about the decision to become a pastor. That's just one decision that I've made in my life to follow Jesus, to honor God, to trust God with all my heart. I mean, it's a significant one, but we all have the same opportunity, no matter what we do, no matter who we are, no matter how old we are, we have that decision to make every day, whether or not we're going to put our whole life in God's hands, whether we are going to trust Him completely. And I'm going to tell you something that goes kind of along with what I just said. God does accept us right where we are, and for precisely who we are at this very moment, with all of our doubts and all of our reservations firmly in place. And he challenges us. He challenges us to put our trust and our faith in him every day. What does that mean? That means that we have to go into this thinking that, yeah, God meets me precisely where I am and precisely for who I am, but he doesn't expect me to stay there. Putting your trust and faith in God is taking the first step into a grand adventure that he has for you. And so, how do we begin to trust God on a daily basis? Well, I was thinking about this. And I went with daily because this isn't, I mean, in a sense, it's a big decision that we make with our life. You know, like, it's, you know, we decide, okay, now I'm going to follow Jesus. But, you know, when it comes to just practical day-to-day living, once we have become believers, once we acknowledge God for who he is and what he has done through Jesus Christ, I mean, every day we have the same question put before us. You know, how am I going to put my trust and my faith in God today, with God, with what God has in store for me today? And so this is the development of a relationship. We don't decide to come to faith, put our ultimate trust, and you know, we have like the highest possible level of trust and faith in God. You know, there's a relationship involved here too, and relationships take time. And so I think it happens just like it happens in our human relationships, at least one aspect of it. And so faith and trust requires a little bit of action on our part. It forces us to take some risks, I suppose. We need to take little steps, and we need to assess the progress. We need to take little risks, and then we need to evaluate the consequences, right? And so when it comes to relationships with different people, this takes months and even years until we hopefully come to a point where we can say, you know what, I can fully trust this person. I have tested this person. I have interacted with this person, and this person has shown himself or herself trustworthy to me, I have no doubt. I mean, to trust or not to trust, that's no small decision. It's no small decision. It's not a decision that we necessarily make all at once. It's based on hundreds of hours of personal interactions and hours of deep reflection. And what I'm saying is it's similar to our relationship with God. I mean, even though we find cause for trusting God throughout Scripture, I mean, the entire story of the Bible, the entire narrative is about how God is faithful and is always faithful and is always ready to receive his people back, even when they have screwed up big time. God is faithful. God is trustworthy. But, you know, there's a personal aspect of this for us too. There's a personal aspect of this for us too. Even if we believe everything that happened in the Bible and we believe about what the Bible says about God's character, you know, we still have to kind of put this into practice. We still have to put in the time and take the risks. But we know the truth of what it says in Romans 10, verse 13, that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And that word everyone that we read about in Romans, that word everyone reveals like the inclusive intention of God's heart. And so you know, I know some people that kind of go through life and they've got some awareness of God and they've got some awareness of Jesus, but they think, you know what, I've screwed up too bad. You know, I know that God is pretty forgiving, but for what I've done, you know, I think I'm pretty much cut off. And they kind of go through life thinking that they can't be forgiven. But no. It's like I said earlier in the service, it doesn't matter how far we go, it doesn't matter how far we fall, God is ready to take us back as soon as we turn to him. As soon as we turn from our sin and turn back to God, we find God right there. Right there. It's not even like we see him in the distance. He promises to be right there, even in the darkest places of our life, even with the greatest struggles that we've ever faced. God is trustworthy. God is faithful. God offers wise and loving leadership for our lives. And really, all there is for us is to let him know that we want it and that we need it. God offers the gift. We need to extend our hands and take it. And of course, as good Reformed Calvinists, we believe that God is responsible for that gift, even the gift to be able to reach out our hands, even the gift of wanting it in the first place. But still, we take that first step, and we see that God will indeed prove himself faithful and trustworthy. You know, a life worth living, it isn't just one big decision of faith. It requires many little steps. And understanding this, we realize that deciding how to respond to Christ's offer of salvation is really not optional. We all have to make the choice. We all have to decide. And you know what? When it comes to that aspect, when it comes to our eternal life or eternal death aspect of things, eternity truly hangs in the balance. We have to choose. And you have to understand this as well. It requires faith to make either choice. And so atheists, you know, for example, atheists like to say, you know what, we don't base anything on faith. We look at raw facts. We look at raw facts, and that's what we go by. And frankly, no one's been able to prove to our satisfaction that God exists, and so we decide not to believe in him. So it doesn't have anything to do with faith. Well, I beg to differ. You are putting faith in the idea or the concept that there is nothing more to this world, nothing more to this universe, nothing more to creation than our senses can perceive. You're putting faith in the fact that, you know what, this is all there is. And so it takes faith either way. It takes faith either way. And so, choosing to place our trust in Jesus Christ, of course, demands faith. It demands faith in a creator and a sustainer and a lover and a savior that we cannot necessarily see or hear or feel with our senses. But we trust based on Scripture, based on the Spirit's witness within our hearts that Jesus did indeed walk this earth, did indeed die our death, did indeed raise from the dead as the first fruits of all those who believe in him, that Christ did indeed ascend into heaven to be in the presence of his Father, where one day we will enjoy perfect fellowship with the God that we worship and the God that we trust in and all the rest of us. Now, I guess the big question this morning is, which way do you want to go with your faith? You have to choose. Which way do you want to go with your faith? Now, some of you have considered yourself Christians for many years, raised in the church, Christian school, Sunday school, church twice on Sundays. You know a lot of stuff. Some of you gave your life to Jesus Christ a long time ago, but then, you know, over the course of your life, you kind of made a little bit of a veer off the straight and narrow path. For whatever reason, you decided to go off and try and do life on your own for a while, and then you returned back. Some of us are in that position right now, and we haven't turned back yet, and we're being prayed for by our greater church family. But if you are now ready to ask God's forgiveness and to kind of recommit your trust in his leadership and his guidance for your life. I would encourage you. I would encourage you whether it's today or tomorrow or at any time, not to hold back, to place your life once again in his hands, to say, the decisions I make, from the largest ones to the smallest ones, I want access to your wisdom, and I will trust, and I will obey your wisdom in any given situation. Tell God that you need his help and his guidance. He is always ready and waiting to hear those words. Now, the questions remain. Will we choose God's path at the various intersections of our daily lives? Will we trust God enough to conform our will to his ways? I mentioned this earlier. As I look back over the years, I can honestly say I have no regrets, no regrets whatsoever, about the times that I followed God's path. I couldn't think of a single one. And I'll tell you something, I did not want to be a pastor. I did not want to go to seminary. I didn't want to be a pastor. I grew up the son of a pastor. I saw what that life was like. It did not look good to me. But you know what? I trusted God on that one. And it was a big one. I have no regrets about it. No regrets about it. I had a much different picture for my life. Much different picture for my life, but I have no regrets. Sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's confusing, but always in the end, when I have trusted to God's wisdom, I have not been disappointed. On the other hand, we're not going to do this because although it would be very interesting to you, it would be brutal for me. I could spend the next 3 weeks talking about the regrets that I do have when I chose another path, when I chose the selfish path, or when I chose somebody else's path. Each time when I made that decision, I would end up saying, that was so dumb. Look at the consequences. Look at the people that I've hurt through this whole thing. Look at the guilt that I carry now. Look at the time that I've lost. Refusing to go God's way was so stupid. And you know what? I regret it, but I don't necessarily feel bad about it because God's word, Proverbs in particular, tells us that we are not born wise. None of us come into this world with a natural kind of bent toward God and his will and his ways. No, we are all born kind of stupid. We are born with folly in our hearts and on our minds. And one of the main tasks in life is to grow out of that folly and into wisdom. Part of that process is learning from mistakes and a lifetime of paying attention to the decisions that we do make and the consequences that follow. It teaches us a lot. So, brothers and sisters, I do trust God with all my heart. But that's a daily decision that I make. It's a daily decision that I make, and I do still make mistakes. But I trust God with my whole heart, and that's not just with my eternal life in view somewhere in the future. That's with my daily life. God is never going to let you down. God is always going to be faithful. What we desperately need, each one of us, is God's mind on the serious matters of our lives. And you know what? God offers it through the teaching of his word and through the gift of his Holy Spirit. So I encourage you this morning, always, whether you're in doubt or whether you think you've got it figured out already, always trust the wisdom of God. Always go back to the word. Always go back to God in prayer. Is this the right decision? Is this what brings you the most glory and brings me to the place where you want to bring me? Because any area of life that is not placed under God's leadership and wisdom will eventually become a source of frustration and heartache and pain. God has a plan. God has a future and a hope for each one of us. I love that verse in Jeremiah 29, verse 11. I know that many of you probably know it. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Love to reflect on that verse. I love to think about God designing a special plan just for me. And brothers and sisters, he has a special plan for each one of you as well. And just as I do, I want you to just let that sink into your heart and soul a little bit. God knows you by name. God has things that only you can accomplish. God has a specific plan. And God knows us better than we know ourselves. He understands all of our capabilities. He understands all of our limitations. He knows exactly what pitfalls we need to avoid, and he sees the full scope of our potential. He sees it so much more clearly than any of us see it for ourselves. And I'm here to tell you that God has his sights set high for you. And he is willing to give you every form of assistance you need to live out his perfectly designed plan. But daily, in order to cooperate with God's work in your life, I want to encourage you, I want to encourage myself once again this morning to turn to God daily, to put your trust and your faith in him and in him alone. Amen. Let's pray.